Word, and I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians in the chapter 9, and we're going to read from verse 16. First Corinthians 9, verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made unto all men, I am made all things unto all men, that I might by all means save some. And it's that last little phrase particularly that I want to deal with today. I am made all things unto all men, that I might by all means save some. But if we were to prayer, look to the Lord for the message. Gracious God, we thank you again for Youth Sunday, for the young people that have participated, for all who have come to worship, to listen, to receive of your word. Lord, it is your word, it's not mine, and therefore we come seeking the help to bring the message of God, that we will know the infilling of the Spirit of the Lord as we bring the word today. Bless all who hear. Lord, it is thine to apply. And we pray, therefore, that the same Holy Spirit who will fill this preacher now with power will so fill the congregation that they might hear what God has to say and take away in their hearts the message that the Lord has for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Reaching the lost by the all means. That's what I want to deal with. I am made all things unto all men, that I might by all means save some. None can deny the immensity of the burden that was in the heart of the great apostle for the souls of perishing sinners. Paul had a heart throb for the souls of men. You remember he said, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He could hear the tramp, tramp, tramp of the souls of men going down that broad road that leads to a Christless eternity. He could see the awful destiny to which men were heading, drifting there without hope. And he could see that with absolute clarity and unbeclouded vision. See the great preacher, missionary preacher, preach to the multitudes. Hear him as he uplifts Christ and him crucified as the only remedy for sin. Listen to him as he warns about destruction and a Christless hell. Watch him as he weeps over his congregations and pleaded with them that they would turn from their evil ways and be converted. Observe him stand before the high and the mighty as he sought to reason with them and persuade them to become Christians. Listen to the statement that he makes in Romans chapter 9 and those opening verses. And there's never a time that I read these verses, but I'm really challenged in my heart. Paul says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. So no one can deny The fact that here we have a man who carried a deep burden in his heart for the unconverted. He was weighed down by a heavy weight as he pondered the lost condition of multitudes round about. His heart was filled with love, concern, and zeal for immortal souls. I only wish that I possessed a tenth of his concern, compassion, and conviction. I mourn over the fact that the Church of Jesus Christ today is largely unmoved when it comes to the lost. The other things have taken over. You know, the other things that preoccupy our time, those things that we devote our attention to, they have taken over. When was the last time that you really felt for a soul on the road to hell? When was the last time that you went to an individual who's unconverted and pleaded with them and reasoned with them and begged them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? When was the last time that you wept over the lost of your town or your district? Well, I'll tell you this, they will remain lost until the Church of Jesus Christ awakens. I'm not talking about acknowledging a certain amount of facts in your head. That's part of it. You've got to have an intellectual knowledge that men are in their sin, that they're destined to hell. We have a responsibility to win them to Christ. But there's more to it than just these facts in our heads. And I'm not just speaking about being stirred up, maybe at a meeting like this, or an Easter convention, or a convention meeting that you attend, and it really, after a few weeks, comes to nothing. I'm speaking here about having the heart concern, like the Apostle Paul. Having the compassion of Christ himself, who was moved when he saw the multitudes of his day. It is having that burden of heart that D.L. Moody had whenever every day of his life he counted it a failure if he hadn't spoken to someone about their soul. Or having that concern of heart that the great missionary Hudson Taylor had. It says that the sun never rose upon China without finding Hudson Taylor on his knees in prayer for the lost. May God burden your heart and mine. How can we go on while the world around us rushes to hell? The Church of Jesus Christ is sleeping while the world is perishing. One day the great Napoleon ran his index finger around a map, around a particular country. He was speaking to his generals. He said, "There lies a sleeping giant. Let it sleep. For if that country ever wakens and is able to harness its manpower to its mineral power, it will shake the world." He was referring to the country of China. I see the devil standing by. He's not running his finger around a map. He's running his finger around the Church of Jesus Christ. And he says, "There is the Church of Jesus Christ, and it is sleeping. Let it sleep. For if the Church of Christ ever discovers, rediscovers the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of the resurrection of Christ, it will shake the world." Well, I just want to shake a little part of the world, a little part where God has put me. And I trust and pray that you feel the same, that you want to see this town of Portadown shaken by the mighty power of God. And I want to use the words of Paul in this text to drive this burden home to your heart afresh and to mine. I preach to my own heart every time I preach. I want you to think about reaching the lost by the all means. And I want you to see, first of all, in this text of Scripture that there is the mission that Paul engaged in. And it's summarized in that little phrase, "save some." That was his mission. Paul could not save everyone, nor can we, but he could save some. And this refers to our responsibility. This is the work that Almighty God has committed to his church. Now, only God can save. We know that in the final analysis. Salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. He shall save his people from their sins, is the declaration of Scripture. But we are ambassadors. We are signposts to the cross. We are God's mouthpieces to witness, to testify, to tell others the gospel. And in this sense, we are said to save others. We are the means of reaching them. God's mission becomes our mission. And God's mission is to save sinners, and that becomes our mission. I sat in a home a number of years ago. It was a home of a mother and a father of some children. And well, they weren't married, but we had the opportunity to go in and talk to them about the gospel on a number of occasions. We were always welcome in the home. And I had a couple of students, I think, on that occasion from the college with me. And I said to the lady, "Do you know why we're here?" And she said, "Well, you know why you're here. But I want you to tell me why I'm in your home today." And she looked at me. She says, "You want to see me saved." Well, she got it right. And when we go out, my friends, to witness to others, that is the deep longing of our heart. We want to see others saved. The Bible says, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. That's our responsibility. Jude verse 24. James said, "He which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." This is our duty. And so here Paul is saying in this text, to save some. Many of our lovely hymns express the very same thought. The old general in his hymn, when he spoke about his passion for souls, he said, "To live a dying world to save." And that was old General Booth, and that's how he lived, to save a dying world. We think of another hymn writer who put it this way, "Throw out the lifeline and save some today." Or one of my favorite hymns, it's "I Want an Even Strong Desire." That hymn is written by Charles Wesley. "I want a calmly fervent zeal to save poor souls out of the fire, to snatch them from the verge of hell." Tell me, do you live to save some? Do you live, as the general put it, a dying world to save? Are you rescuing the perishing? Are you reaching the ungodly? Are you winning souls to Christ? Do you weep o'er the erring one? Do you lift up the fallen? Do you tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save? There is no greater blessing than in seeing a lost soul destined to eternal condemnation in the lake of fire being brought to Christ, repenting of their sin, and receiving the Lord. I'm glad that Emily read that passage of Scripture, because it was on my mind from Luke chapter 15. And I just wanted to mention a couple of verses from it, because here is the joy of bringing others to Christ. And in verse 7 of Luke 15, Jesus said to the people, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." And in verse 10, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth," even one. The joy that there is in seeing that person brought to Christ, there's joy in heaven and there's joy on the earth as we blend with our voices in a song of praise when sinners are brought to the Lord. This was Paul's mission. Is it yours? Secondly, I want you to see the method that Paul employed. And I want you to notice a little phrase here in the text, "by all means." Now, the indispensable method of bringing the lost to Christ is preaching. It's the preaching of the word. We can never depart from that. We think of that passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 10 from verse 13, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then Paul enters into this great debate about how will they hear? How will they hear without a preacher? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Esaias saith, "Lord, who hath believed our report?" So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is God's method of reaching the lost: preaching. Remember Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, he says, we preach Christ and him crucified. However, there's also the all means in evangelism. We don't believe in gimmicks. We don't believe in cheapening the gospel. But there is the all means, identifying ourselves with sinners. What did Paul mean in this passage when he wrote these words, I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. To the Jew I became a Jew, to the Gentile I became a Gentile, to the weak I became as weak. He knew how to adopt his approach and his method. It was always the same message. As we read back in verse 16, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That never changed as far as Paul was concerned in reaching all kinds of people. But Paul knew how to approach people of different backgrounds. The one approach would not do for all. And he went to where the people were in order to reach them. He went into synagogues, he preached to the Jews there. He went down to marketplaces, he preached to the Gentiles there. He went to a riverside on another occasion. He went into the homes of the people. He stood on Mars Hill on another occasion when a congregation gathered, preached to them. He witnessed for Christ in Roman courts. And even in the last couple of years in his home in Rome where he was confined, he still presented the gospel. We must be prepared to identify ourselves with the ungodly, to go to them, to befriend them, to help them if needs be in a practical way, to be a good neighbor to them, to do anything that is legitimate to win them to Christ. To be made all things unto all men does not mean that we do sinful things to win the lost. You don't need to drink alcohol to win the alcoholic. You don't need to take drugs to win the drug addict. You don't need to bet and gamble to win the gambler. You don't need to dance around on a dance floor to win those people to Christ. That makes nonsense of the scripture. That makes nonsense of the changed life. But we should be prepared to do anything within reason to win the lost. It might mean identifying with a person's culture. Even here in Northern Ireland, we are becoming more multicultural than we were before. We need to identify with those people. When Hudson Taylor went to China, you remember he wore Chinese clothes. He wore the little pigtail that the men out there wore. Why did he do that? He wanted to identify himself with these people so that he could get into their lives, into their hearts, and win them to Christ. It might mean identifying yourself with a person's occupation. We had an evangelist many years ago. He was out in the country giving invitations to a gospel mission and inviting people in to listen to God's word and also seeking to get a wee word in for the Lord. And he came to a farmyard and the farmer was out in the byre and he was, what's the expression, mucking out the sty or the cow shed. And he was busy. But you know, this man saw he was busy and not really wanting to enter into a conversation. So he said, I'll give you a hand. And he went to his boot and he got his wellies. The wellies were in the boot. And he put them on and he started to help this man clean out his cow shed. At the same time, he gave him the gospel and witnessed to him. It might mean identifying yourself with a person's pastime. You know, if you are good at football, you can take a group of people out and play football with them and share the gospel with them. Or it might mean identifying with a person's needs. We have the opportunity to go quite often to the land of Romania. In fact, last February was my 22nd time in Romania. And there's a particular community there that I am particularly burdened for. And it is the Roma people, the Gypsy people. And we are able to get into their homes and we've got into their hearts. And yes, we bring them little provisions, some food, some clothes, shoes, whatever it might be. But there we are, sitting in their homes, presenting the gospel of Christ. It is a stepping stone to their hearts and for them to Christ. What a joy it was for me during lockdown to hear of one of these families being touched by the Lord, and the man and the woman of 15 children coming to trust Christ as Savior. I was sent a little video of their baptism, and I rejoiced when I saw that. Many, many times we sat in their homes and gave them the gospel. We revisited that place. We met them for the first time physically as believers just in February time. And we did bring some provisions. There's a little over there. They have little in Romania. And we got the food supplies. But first we preached the gospel, and they all gathered around in a circle. We had the joy of preaching God's word, and then we gave the provision, winning others to Christ. Have you got a phone, young people? You can send a text message. Are you on some of these social networking things, Facebook or Instagram maybe? I'm told Instagram's more for the younger and Facebook's for the older. I don't know. But, you know, very often I see these things and people are promoting themselves. I get friend requests from all over the world. I'm friends with hundreds of people and don't know any of them. It's just the way it is. But because they're friends of my friends, I have the tendency of accepting them. But sometimes when you go in, you know, all their photographs are all about themselves and they're posing and doing all that kind of thing. Why not use this means of sharing the gospel? I used to say I would never go on Facebook, but I became a member for this reason, just to share things about the church and the things of the gospel. You can do that and win others to Christ. I can remember hearing of Paul Hsu. Paul Hsu is from Singapore. He was the pastor of a church in that city. And he had a church of 170 people. The building held 250 people. And that's how it had been for years. And Paul had this burden. He wanted to see the work grow, but he came to this conclusion. Lord, all these years I've been thinking this work is mine. It's the work of Paul Hsu. Lord, this is a sin. I'm confessing the sin to the Lord. It's not my work. It's the Lord's work. And I'm handing it over to the Lord today. He stood up in the congregation and he confessed the same sin to the people. And he said, brethren and sisters, we're handing the work over to the Lord. And I want you to get involved in evangelism and reaching the lost, bringing them to Christ. And they started a lot of ministries in the church, very practical missionary ministries. I think there was something like 25 ministries started. And he said, God has given you gifts. He's given you talents. And he wants you to go and employ them in his service to win others to Christ. So there was a young man. He was a skateboard instructor. He gathered a group of young people around him. He taught them to skateboard. And he gave them the gospel, brought them to church. Another lady, she was gifted in the art of dressmaking. She gathered in her neighbors and taught them how to sew and so forth. And witnessed to them, brought them to church. Somebody else was good at cooking, taught others to cook, and so on. They all had gifts, talents, and they began to employ them now in the service of Christ. It wasn't long before there were now hundreds of people coming, and that was a problem. The building only seated 250 people. There were now 750, and he didn't know what to do, because in Singapore, the buildings are so closely together, you can't even buy land to build. So they began to run three meetings. That was the easy thing to do, 250 at each meeting. This is what happens when you take the work of God seriously and you go out after the souls of men to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given you talents, brethren and sisters and young people today. You can use them for the Lord. How do we reach the multitudes? How do we reach the unchurched, the hundreds of people that don't come to church? That's the day in which we're living. It's an age-old problem, but especially today, here in gospel-preaching Ulster, people are not interested any longer in the things of God. How do we reach them? All these housing estates round about you in the town and out into the country, how do we reach them with the gospel? My dear friends, we need to go to them. We're not reaching them. We're failing in our duty. How do we see to it that the unsaved are brought to Christ? Well, we don't do silly things, but there are legitimate things to do to reach out and to win them for the Lord. I have one final point that I want to make, and then we'll close. The message that Paul emphasized. We know that Paul only had one message. He never deviated from that message one bit, and that was Christ and him crucified. In all that we do, the message never changes. It will always be the same. The Lord Jesus Christ must always be central in our presentation of divine truth. We can never depart from the one God-given message ordained from all eternity for the saving of souls. Jesus says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. It is as we preach Christ, as we lift him up before a dying world, that sinners will be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this message is not up for grabs. We cannot deviate from it. We cannot alter it. We cannot compromise upon it. We cannot water it down. The way of the cross leads home. And it's always going to be that way. People can only be saved through Christ crucified. Oh yes, we must befriend them. We must identify with them. We must show them love and be practical and get down to their level and show an interest in them. This is called winning. Winning souls to Christ. But the message must always be dominant. I ask you in conclusion today, what are you doing to bring sinners to Christ? Or what will you do from this day onward to bring them to Christ? What changes will you make in your life? What ministry will you engage yourself in? What sacrifices are you prepared to make? What promise will you make to the Lord even today? What souls will you win to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because God only knows what will happen when the sleeping giant, the Church of Jesus Christ, awakens and takes this message of evangelism and winning the lost seriously. 150,000 people will die today, somewhere in the world. What are you doing to even bring one of them to Christ?